The Spinoff Podcast Network. Ready to rediscover the joys of cycling? With over 300 kilometres of cycle paths across Tāmaki Makaurau, jumping on your bike and going for a ride is such a fun way to discover the city from a different perspective. Cycling is getting more and more popular across Auckland, so now's a great time to join the hype and give cycling a go. Head to at.govt/cycling to find your nearest cycleway today. Skinny are helping you show how smart you are with the 1Q quiz, an all-new, super challenging and super quick daily quiz built by The Spinoff. Every Monday, Skinny are giving you the chance to prove you're smart with the Skinny Extra Credit question. Get it right, and you'll get the chance to score yourself some Skinny Extra mobile credit so you can text, call, or even video call your group chat and gloat about how big your brain is. T's and C's apply.
In my head, I play a supercut of us.
Kia ora and welcome to Lord Behind the Melodrama, a track-by-track podcast brought to you by The Spinoff and Spark about Lord's new album, Melodrama. I'm your host, Henry Oliver, the music editor at The Spinoff, and over two afternoons in May, I sat in a boardroom in Auckland and talked to Lord about the lyrics, songwriting and production of her new album, hearing the stories and influences behind every song. In this episode, we talk about Supercut.
I think when people heard Greenlight for the first time, they thought, oh, I know what this record is going to sound like. And then obviously Liability came out and people were like, maybe the parameters are different to what we thought. And this song is sort of the closest to Greenlight that I sort of go to on the record. This is like the next closest thing. They definitely feel kind of like sibling songs. And weirdly, this song is like kind of a bit of a sister song to a song on Pure Heroine, Ribs, which was like a song that fans really kind of held in their hearts. It was one they all like loved to hear live, and which was amazing. And this song kind of emotionally, I think, almost like kind of picks up where that left off. Not so much story-wise, but it feels, they feel like there's a kinship there. And I kind of knew that when we started writing it, and I sent it to Joel because I was like, you have to be on this, you know, it has to be you and me. And he did some work on it and crushed it. It was so awesome. He brought some great stuff to it that we hadn't thought of at all, and it felt so right having him kind of involved.
We can talk it so good, we can make it so divine. We can talk it good, how you wish it would be all the time.
I was in New Zealand, actually, just before I left to come to America for 3.5 months or whatever. And I was at a party. Everyone was dancing. It was awesome. And all of a sudden, I was like, I have to go. I can't be here. And it was just like crushing my chest. And I didn't really understand why. And I left the party, I sort of like barreled myself out of this party and got into an Uber, and I was driving along Ponsonby Road in this Uber, weirdly listening to Graceland, because Graceland is sort of like my secret talisman. Like it's like a special protective thing for me. Like it helps me like figure out a lot of stuff, and I find it very sort of like calming and centering. So I was like listening to Graceland, which is real funny to listen to like after a party, like 1 a.m. And I was like going along Ponsonby Road, and it's like, you know, there's all this like bars and stuff that people go to, and you know, like weird Ponsonby like long room and shit.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And it was just like I could hear all the sort of like crazy like beats coming out of those respective places, and then sort of like leaking out into the street. And I was like driving, just feeling this like very intense feeling. And I got home and I sort of like sung a bit of stuff in the bathroom and my phone. And then when I got to America, I was like, we got to do this. And we wrote it. And it came together quite quickly. But also with the song, we were producing it. I was like, I told everyone about driving down Ponsonby Road and how I wanted it to feel like, you know, it does sometimes feel like you're through the wall from a party.
Yeah.
And every so often things just sort of like come at you from different sides. And I liked feeling of this party sort of like leaking over the road at me, you know. And it really felt like with this song and the other song that was the last one that we wrote, which is Rider in the Dark, it felt like they were the last two where I, and after I wrote those, I was like, oh, I've said everything, you know, that I need to say on this record. It was kind of nice to close the loop, so I was in New York and I was so jet lagged. It was so cold. And I would like finish work at like midnight and it would feel like 5 p.m. And I was like, well, I've got to go entertain myself. So I would go down to the Spotted Pig, which is like a restaurant in the West Village. It's open till 2. And I would go down there and eat like soup or something. And it's a really beautiful area. It's like amazing, kind of like really leafy kind of streets and beautiful like brownstones. And I was just like kind of walking like basically in a square, like a small square along these streets, listening to the song, and just felt so like, I felt the way I used to feel when I made music when I was a kid, and it felt like so, like I could cry because of how, you know, it's just such relief to get out how you're feeling for the first time. Like when I was a kid, I remember just being like, oh my God, it was such a gratitude for the process. You know, it was like, oh, my outlet.
Watching our love, I'll be your quiet afternoon crush. Be your violent overnight rush. Make you crazy over my touch. But it's just a super cut of us. Super cut of us. Oh, it's just a super cut of us.
Has that been part of your process to like record and then immediately walk around with it in your
head? Yes. Yeah, no, it was a big part of the process to either be like moving in a car or moving on foot. And I basically can't hear a song until I do that. It was a huge part of it. It was nice to be in a different city and not have like all of these like attributed meanings to all the like streets I was walking down. It was just like this big grid and I would just like attack the grid and figure out what these songs meant.
I'm kind of interested in this way that you go from current feeling to like reflective back and forth. Like, there's a kind of two temporal aspects to it or something, which kind of relates in a way to this idea of you like coming to New Zealand and like living this life.
Well, they sound like you can hear where the memories get inserted.
Yes.
In the work. Yeah. It's like, hold on, we're just going to the past for a second and then we'll snap back to the future.
Yeah.
That's very much the thing with this record because it was, you know, I would do something and then write about it 3 months later. Like, I feel like you can feel the sort of bouquet of memories that I've been carrying around for the last couple of months, you know?
Yeah, and that was a very, like, deliberate choice, right, to structure it that way?
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, the last record was so much in the moment, and I like that. I mean, I did write this record fairly retrospectively, but I feel like it is a nice kind of narrative shift to get, and also it's a bit more developed. It's more developed songwriting, you know, to like transport people.
Yeah.
In one line, you're in the past, and then you snap back to the future. I enjoy. It's like a, what's that thing in Harry Potter? They all touch and then they move to a different place. Portkey. It's like a portkey. It's yeah. I don't know. I guess it, for the first time I was writing, I wasn't just, I feel like the first record, a lot of the writing was very much like, this thing happened to me yesterday and I'm going to recount it and this is how I feel about it at this moment. Whereas like part of the, one of the things I think is just to do with like getting older and assessing situations differently is like, sometimes you do need a couple months to sort of sit on it and figure out what it was. And sometimes the right way of telling a story doesn't present itself until later. And I feel like with this, all of a sudden I was like, oh, I know what I need to say to someone. And this is one of the only songs on the record where I'm actually speaking to someone, because I frequently, it's not about like the subject of a song hearing it. I'm not in communication with subjects often. And often I wish they would never hear it. That would make my life much smoother. But this one felt like an 11th hour kind of, there's just something that I want to say, you know.
So you mentioned that, you know, there's production elements that come from you, from Jack. Did you, you know, when you listen to that now, you know, do you hear where things come from? Or does it all kind of just meld?
I mean, I think there's a combination. I think, like, when you start...
And Joel, too, sorry.
And Joel. I think when you start getting mixes done, that is the moment where you're first able to sort of step back from the song and be able to listen to it in a bit more of a, like, consumer way, which is nice. But I definitely still, like, if I put that hat on, I hear every single different thing. And because I have this insane memory. Like, I remember where every single part came from and the exact conversations that we would have around, like, every sound and, like, the piano that we did that bit on or, you know, me coming up with that vocal melody and exactly how he said it in there. Like, it's all very present for me. But, yeah, it was an interesting song, such a kind of interesting journey, because it is like a bit of a journey of a song. And with those songs, you really have to be so mindful of the build and how it kind of progresses and all this stuff. And I think I really like the way we did it with that song. I like... We pulled in, like, a beautiful beat that we had used on, like, 10 other demos before and kind of never had the right home for, and we were like, oh, no, it's here in the second chorus, you know, or just, like, me being like, oh, there has to be this explosion of harmonies right at the end. And they feel so good, you want them, like, 10 more times, but you just get one go-round of these, like, amazing harmonies. So stuff like that was fun to build it in that way.
And you've got these two... elements of this predominantly very kind of like intimate and layered vocal sound, but then you cut to this kind of room sound, because those are quite distinct, you know, and this was a sort of song that seems like that comes through as a really deliberate kind of choice.
Yeah, I mean, I think that has to do with what we were talking about before about the present and the past. You know, specifically in the pre, it all of a sudden it snaps central and it's very dry, and this, like, every, that was like a real choice that we made, all those vocals to just go super dry after being kind of beautiful, I have this gorgeous chain in the verse, to just be like, nah, gone. And I feel like that is the abruptness of that, is that it's that transportation. It's like, we're going here for a second, and you don't, all of a sudden you're in the car. And, like, I like how abrupt that is. And then there's that moment in the middle, which is, like, full room sound, where I kind of scream at the end.
When you call, I forgive in that fight. All the moments I play in the dark. I'm fluorescent, come home to my heart.
And that was cool. We were at Jungle City in New York, this weird hip-hop studio, and we had this, like, shitty room with, like, the Louis Vuitton symbol on the patterned on the acoustic treatmenting, which was quite chic.
Nice. Of course, right?
Yes, definitely, without a doubt. And we had this, like, terrible mic, and I hated the chain there. But all of a sudden I was just like, with a song like this, it does exist in such a chemical world, which I do love about dance music, you know, but I was like, it just needs to come off the rails for a second, and all of a sudden to have this, like, very human moment. And so we put, I mean, the mic was in the corner and I stood up and went, like, 3 meters away from it and stood in the other side of the room and didn't rehearse it at all, and just, like, sang the shit out of it and did it, like, 2 or 3 times, and that was it. And they were so, that I feel like that's the moment in the song where you really feel that one person is talking to another person. Like, it sounds like it could be an answering machine, you know, or a voice note or something. And I think that's, like, one of my favourite bits in the song.
And the piano is still very present. And so you've talked before about, like, building, kind of often from the piano kind of up.
Mm.
So what's the process there? You've got a kind of skeleton frame with the piano, and then you decide where it stays or where it goes, or like does it just get drowned out? Or?
No, that one actually, we sort of built it kind of from the drums up, piano and drums, that little kind of, you know, it's like super low pass, that piano. It's definitely not like full green light, like bright, shiny piano. Yeah. It's like that ghostly kind of through the wall thing. And that one was there from the start. And I think we took it out and then I was like, it's got to go back. It feels so right. I guess just kind of had piano from the start, but we didn't like sit around the piano writing it. We kind of just filled in the blanks afterward. But for the most part, they were very much written at the piano.
This podcast is produced for The Spinoff by Yana Winter and Henry Oliver, recorded and edited by Yana, with additional recording by Jose Barbosa. Like all of The Spinoff's music content, Lord, Behind the Melodrama, is brought to you by Spark. Listen to all the music you love, including Melodrama, on Spotify Premium, free with all of Spark's pay monthly mobile plans. Find more Spinoff podcasts on iTunes or wherever else you get these things. For more from The Spinoff, go to thespinoff.co.nz.
Jeez, they're really like putting the bins out right now. It's all happening.
Talo for Lover. I'm Madeline Chapman, editor at The Spinoff. If you have the means, consider supporting our high-quality journalism by becoming a Spinoff member. Sign up now at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
Kia ora e te iwi. Te Aihe Butler here, podcast manager at The Spinoff. If you enjoy listening to our podcasts, consider supporting our mahi by signing up to become a Spinoff member at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
The Spinoff Podcast Network.